Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I have my ugly bridesmaid's dress and I'm ready to party. Yes. This is the Southern Belle wedding.
Ugh. You're in Pennsylvania. You're in Pennsylvania, Topanga. Nothing about you is Southern.
Topanga wants a Gone with the Wind fantasy wedding, and we better deliver.
Can I just say, never ever would I want, first of all, women were treated like crap in Gone with the Wind days. You do not want a Gone with the Wind wedding, Topanga.
Right. I'm pretty sure that
literally
was the
her
joke.
Husband like shoved her down the stairs.
Oh,
that
okay.
Happened.
So here's a story. One time, do you remember what the plantation is called in Gone with the Wind?
No.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, I wrote an entire book report on Gone with the Wind in freshman year of college. And I, to be honest with you, I just watched the movie and I'm pretty sure I fell asleep during it because it's like 30 hours long.
It's so
and I
freaking
wrote
long.
I wrote the entire report where I called the place where they lived one name and it was really some other. And they corrected me. And I did not do so well in that book report. Yeah. Not a great story.
Wait, who's knocking at that door? Wait, whose boyfriend is this? Who's arrived here? Is that Tommy's music I hear?
For he's a jolly good fella. For he's a jolly good fella. For he's a jolly good fella. It's me. I'm here to compete for the best man of the podcast. And I have been working on my arm strength so I can carry people for the Jolly Goodfellow dance.
Such an important thing for being a best man.
What about your happy dance?
I think it's like pretty good. It's not as good as Eric's. Eric was like keeping up with that monkey.
He gets air too. He like jumped a full like foot and a half high. It feels like, I mean, it doesn't seem that high, but it looked really high.
He was moving and grooving.
He was.
Yeah.
We're officially in season 7 territory. I like to call this era of Boy Meets World the what the fuck were you thinking era of, like, what are we even watching at this point? Like, Sean and Corey are like sex monsters, and I don't really know a better term for it. But it's like, that's all they talk about. That's all they think about. If I'm Rachel, I am like losing my shit on everybody in this first episode.
It's so bad. Like, yeah, this season 7, it really feels like no one cared. Like, they were like, all right, let's throw a dart and see what plot we're gonna, don't care about what the characters you did establish before. And I think, like, Jess, you said it last week of like their caricatures of each. It's like they pick one thing that was like, about that character and just magnify it times 100. It's wild to me. I forgot how ridiculous this gets in the later season.
Yeah. And I say that. I love it.
Well, you decided after last week that you were like, I'm leaning all the way into ridiculousness.
I'm serious. I have let go of all of my expectations and all of my hangups.
Is that still freeing for you?
Yeah, I think I feel very free. And I laughed out loud in the second episode in particular. And Jess, you know, I don't fucking laugh. I don't laugh ever. Nothing makes me laugh.
I don't fucking laugh.
But this made me laugh.
Life sounds so sad.
Yeah.
Well, okay, no, it's, I mean, I've talked about this on multiple podcasts before, but like, I am very much a that's so funny type of girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's so funny.
That's so funny. Yeah, I can't get out of it. It's just who I am. So, but I laughed out loud, especially the whole Eric shenanigans. So yeah. I'm fully in. I've decided to accept it, and it is very freeing.
It's funny because I feel like the big thing like about Boy Meets World was always like Eric gets dumb. It's always talked about. But to be honest, I'm not minding the Eric stuff compared to the Corey misogyny. Yes. Very awful, terrible things. Like, give me silly Eric.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Tommy, that Eric being dumb isn't the thing that's bothering me the most.
We have bigger problems.
There's so many bigger issues here to worry about than Eric being stupid, because to a certain degree, Eric has always been dumb, right? They just really like exacerbated how stupid he was, and like just like it made it so hyperbolic that it's ridiculous. But like, if I have to listen to one more episode of Corey being like, you know what I want, give me that booty, like, what? Lose my fucking mind.
Also, how many times are they going to see the word booty? Also, we'll get into it in the first part, but like, how many movies have booty in the title that aren't like inappropriate? Like, they're like, there was so much talk about,
hey, girlfriends, let's watch porn tonight. Hooray.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of one movie that's not a porn that it has the word booty in it. I don't know if I can think of one. Maybe like a pirate's booty.
Yeah, but even
that's
still
probably the closest that we can get.
Yeah.
But it does give us a lot of information. Corey is strictly an ass man and not a boob man.
Which we've known because he wanted to see, he made a deal with Topanga to see her butt.
I've never heard him ask about her boobs before.
Maybe they're less mysterious to him. Because like, Topanga maybe would wear like a V-neck shirt.
Right.
But she's not wearing those shorty shorts, you know? Like, you're not seeing any ass.
Only in Disney did she wear the shorty shorts. Yes,
only in Disney. And she only wasn't even with him then. Yeah. So let's chat about these episodes. We have two episodes to cover here. Season 7, episodes 5 and 6. You Light Up My Union is the first one. The girls are like so excited. They're living together. They're having a girls' night in. They got some movies, Little Women, Terms of Endearment, and Ever After. Sarah, have you seen any of these films?
Well, it depends on which Little Women. I'm assuming
this is the old one.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the one with like Kirsten Dunst, right? Yes. Yep. And then of course I've seen Little Women. Ever After is one of my favorites. It is a phenomenal movie. That is with Drew Barrymore, and she plays a version of Cinderella. And Jessica, if you've never seen Ever After, put that on the board. We need to watch that movie.
I honestly don't think
it's so good. It's so good. 10 out of 10. Dear man, I don't think so.
Yeah, Tommy, what about you? Are you a fan of the they call them a chick flick. These are more like romance movies, I would say.
Yeah, I love a good romance movie. I'm a big especially Netflix has some pretty trashy romance films. Sometimes it's very nice to just throw one on and not have to think.
Yes, because you're like, you know what? I know how this is going to end. And it's going to end with people getting together and being happy and in love. And sometimes that's fun to watch.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. But during this opening scene, I'll say I was pretty distracted because they open up with this cheese platter. And I studied it for way too long.
Yes.
So tell us about the cheese platter, Tommy.
Well, it's like a million crackers.
A There's lot of crackers.
So many crackers on this. A lot cheese. Of crackers. It's what kind of cheese ring. Is this?
I think it's a brie. I looked at it for a while, but it's it looks a, like it's more pumpkin cheese.
It looks too square to be brie, though. Brie is usually more like
a triangle.
What do you mean? It's a triangle, Jessica.
Oh, I was looking at it from a weird angle. Okay, it is a triangle. They didn't even cut it, though.
That's my point. It's literally just a hunk of cheese with so many crackers.
Props were seriously slacking at this point. They're like, who gives a fuck? It's season seven. We don't have to cut the cheese.
Are you going full in the cheese? They also have a bowl of popcorn, and I feel like that's my food of choice in this situation.
No, cheese all the way.
I like the cheese, but for a movie, what if the crackers get too loud? Like, you're like, really chopping on those crackers.
There's no cheese knife. They're not very sophisticated here.
Cheese knife.
There's no cheese
They're
knife.
They're college students. They have a fucking cheese knife.
How else are you going to put the cheese on the cracker?
Maybe Jack took all the cheese knives, because Jack seems like the person with the cheese knives. Like, he took it away when they moved out.
He would have a cheese knife.
Yeah, he has a lot of cheese knives.
Yeah. So they're about to like hang in ladies' night, girls' night. Oh, what a night. And the boys just barge in, shove themselves on the couch. Poor Rachel goes flying. She probably broke a bone. And they're just like, let the kissy kissy begin. It's like, what is happening? This is
I was
okay.
more shocked that Topanga and Angela were actively okay with the boys barging in and making out on the couch. That I was more alarmed by that than Corey and Sean coming in demanding to watch movies and have kissy kissy time.
Yeah, like I don't know, we've seen them deal with Sean and Corey before, and it's a lot harsher. It really felt like this episode they were way too nice, and I get it, they just got back together, but like, how are they not being like, be respectful to our roommate? Like, I was very shocked at how much they just did not care about what Corey and Sean were doing.
Yeah, this is bad roommate behavior on so many levels, because the boys just come in, take over. They're like, okay, what do we got here? These movies look like trash. Estrogen on parade, put down the seat. These shoes are these shoes. Absolutely not. We're going to watch Jennifer Lopez versus Carmen Electra on Celebrity Deathmatch in pudding on ponies.
Okay, hold on. Celebrity Deathmatch, is that the one where it takes place in clay? Is that it, Tommy?
I thought so too, because that is a thing. But what's confused me about that is the pudding and the horse. That seems less exciting if it's animated. Now,
yeah,
it's
no, it's, it is.
Horse.
Sarah's right. It's the adult stop motion claymation series.
I watched this series so much when I was a teenager. And I have no idea why, because it's not my brand of comedy. It's not my brand of entertainment. But I think it was the fact that I'm such a pop culture connoisseur that I liked watching these claymation celebrities go against each other.
Yeah.
Did either of you ever watch this?
So much.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely watched this. Stone Cold Steve Austin. There's
they had a lot everybody. Of it was like it was anybody that you could possibly think of. Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. There was Backstreet Boy. It was Spice Girls. Anybody that you wanted to be on that was on it. That was like the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, late 90s is when it was on. This is like the perfect time for it. This is when it was like at its hottest.
What a reference. Yeah.
And so they're just like, okay, this is what we're going to watch. And Rachel is pissed. Like, this was supposed to be ladies' night. And he's like, no, this is booty night. It's like, all right. Then we go to the student union area. You know, they have like that gift shop. And we find out not only has Feeny secured a job for Jack, Feeny has a lot of sway at this school, probably because he's married to the dean. But Tommy, he's also gotten a job for Eric. Both of them are now working at like the student, union student bookstore, whatever the heck you want to call it.
Yeah, I feel like usually you get a job. Was there just an opening, or was it kind of like, did they just push someone out? I have so many questions here. Did someone get fired just so that Feeny could prove a point to Eric and Jack?
Yeah, this is our first Feeny con that we've seen in a while.
Yeah, this is absolutely insane. And like this is we haven't seen a Feeny con in a long time. And this is a way more subtle Feeny con than I think we're used to.
Yes.
Because like he very like very like references it so like quietly, where Jack's like, oh, thank you so much, like, thanks for getting me this job, this is so great, it's gonna look great on my resume. And then we're seeing Eric be Eric. He's going around, he's putting whipped cream and coffee for this girl, he's hooking up a couple, he's like, you guys keep staring at each other, no, you gotta stop dancing, you gotta sit, look at each other's eyes. This is like a very cute Eric scene until he puts the whipped cream in the guy's textbook, and then I'm like, what are we doing here, stop it,
everything's better with whipped cream, Jess. No, and I think this is also, this scene shows why Eric still works, because even though he's goofy and silly, they keep one of the best qualities of Eric, which is how much he cares about people and his heart and stuff. And like, one of the things I did like about this is it shows that, like, yeah, he may not have the business like Jack, but he can look at someone and just realize what they need in certain moments. So at least he has a quality that's nice, as opposed to the booty boys over on our other side.
True.
But yeah, I think the thing about the Phoenicon here is, like, it's a very, like, I think you said, a very subtle, it's almost not even, it's a lot of luck. Like, he set it up, but a lot of things had to go a certain way so that his points were proven.
We will get there. Yeah.
But if you ask Feeny, he knew how it was going to happen and how things were going to go the entire time. So yeah, it was all part of his master plan. I love Eric in this scene. I actually think that he is a really good, not employee, that's not what the word I'm looking for.
He's a really good people person.
Very good people person. I think that he would put a smile on anybody's face. It's like when you are one of those people that go to the same coffee shop all the time, and there's that one employee that you really like, and they make you smile. And or okay, once at the movie theater, there's this ticket taker, and he would be like, click, click. And like every single time I went there, he would be like, click, click, when he like took your ticket. And it's like, you go there for the click, click, you know?
No, I get it, Sarah. It's like he adds that extra, like, that extra.
I think that would annoy me.
No, Jessica, you go there for the click, click.
I don't know that I would go there for the click, click. I think I would try to avoid the click, click.
No, he was so happy when he click, clicked.
Okay, I'm happy he was happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jack's like, you know, oh, I understand why you made Eric assistant manager. You want him to learn from me.
Yeah.
And Feeny, so quietly, as he's looking at a sweatshirt, he's looking at an awful lot of sweatshirts this episode. He says, I was hoping it would be good for both of you. And there's the seed. There's the seed of the Phoenicon.
Yeah.
And Eric comes over. Eric Matthews, businessman, which really gives me visions of Romy and Michelle, Sarah.
Yeah.
Do you have a businesswoman's lunch special?
Yeah, he's looking for it. Also, he really sold that penguin sweatshirt to Feeny. So I think that he is doing a good job at this job.
He's excellent at sales.
Yeah.
Tommy.
He has the experience, right?
Yeah, like, but don't give him hundreds of dollars to go to a bank. Thousands of dollars to go to a bank.
$1,600 or whatever it was. No.
That's a lot. I'm going to have to Google how much that is. But yeah.
Yeah. Instead of trying to change Eric, Jack should like take the pros of it. There's a lot that he's good at. Don't put him into a situation where you know he's going to fail. It was so obvious that Eric would not be able to deliver this money. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, selling penguin sweaters, right up.
Yeah, let's stick to our niches, right?
Also, can I just say, it's absolutely absurd that Feeny wouldn't know what the tax is. Like, why is he asking Eric? Like, you live in the same state. You should know what the state tax is.
Yeah, state tax in New Jersey is 0. No, I'm thinking of a decimal. It's 6.25%. No, 6.625, something like that.
New York is 8%.
Yeah. Do you think this is part of the Phoenicon, though? Maybe he's trying to boost Eric up. Like, giving, you know, like, be like, oh, you're telling me the tax. Look at you. And then he's got that boost of confidence.
Yeah.
Leads into later on, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be.
Jack doesn't want to bust up Eric's people parade. Well, maybe people parades are good.
Yeah, maybe you should have sent. I also don't understand. It's like, okay, we have a new manager and a new assistant manager. They're the only ones working here today. And we're also going to make them responsible for going to deposit a whole lot of money
in the bank. Mm-hmm. Also, is there other employees? Like, they just got passed over for this manager and assistant manager.
Because of Feeny. Listen, yeah. Feeny must be an excellent lay if the dean was like, okay, not only do you get to hire the manager, here's the assistant manager. You know, like they had, this was like, you know what this was, Sarah? This was like that after sex moment where you're in that euphoric, you know, state. And Feeny's like, hey, by the way, maybe we can hook up some people I know with the manager and assistant manager roles. And she's like, yeah, whatever, Feeny.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Jack and Eric are nepotism babies.
Well, that's they always get, this feels like in Community where they talk about like the side characters looking vengeful at the main cast. That's how I feel about, we should have got an episode of a Boy Meets World background, get our, you know, our gambling Dans and stuff being like, wait a second.
And
you
know what was it, the pigeon? Gambling Dan and the pigeon.
You know what? These guys get all the cushy jobs like this assistant manager. Yeah.
So he goes to Eric and he says, take this money to the bank, and he makes him repeat it. You know, take the money to the bank, deposit it, come right back. By the time that Eric gets there, though, it has turned into something completely different. Take my mom to see Frank, clean my closet, take a nap. Where am I? And he's at the bank, and there's just a rant. Like, it's so strange. Again, this storyline is absolutely insane, where they're like, let's put an old man with a monkey next to Eric. And it turns out he doesn't have enough money. He's short. He's short, Sarah, the exact amount of money that Eric has.
Yeah, everybody's watching this, and the fact that he sees Eric's name tag, and then all of a sudden the monkey's name is Eric, and they both exactly needed $1,700. It was extremely suspicious, and I think us and the audience and everybody knew that this was, we all thought it was a scam. Was it a scam the whole time? Probably.
I bet Feeny hunted this guy.
It's a Feeny plant,
Tommy and I are big braining this. Hear me out. $1,700. You want to know how much money that is in 2022?
Three books at the local bookstore.
It is.
For like at the college bookstore.
Yeah, the cost of books. Yeah. $3,000 and, you know, $3,022. So here's the thing, Tommy, me and you, I feel like we're on the same wavelength here. This guy, he was like, what will get Eric distracted? Eric has like ADHD brain. He can't. He just, shiny thing. Ooh, sparkles. Ooh. He's like a man with a monkey. That'll get Eric to give this guy up the money.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And now that I think about this more, I said earlier, I think it was like Feeny bet on a lot of luck. I don't think that's the case. I think this all was planned. I don't think this is even, maybe this is a real bank. He bought the bank for the day, hired a bunch of background actors, because like the scene later on with the bank tellers also feels very planned. I think
that's true.
He had this planned all along. He set both of them up to have their specific situations that would get them to see the light that Feeny needed. He is a mastermind.
That's fair. So we find out guy has a baby monkey. His little girlfriend's, the little monkey girlfriend is Isabella.
Isabella.
She's in fucking Milwaukee of all places. What the fuck is a monkey doing in Milwaukee?
All monkeys are in Milwaukee. What are the odds that one of these monkeys are Marcel, Jessica?
Oh, 100%. That monkey was in everything. I think it's the boy monkey is Marcel.
Yeah, it looked a little Marcel-ish.
But he's like, oh, I have no money to send for her. And he's like, Eric won't do the happy dance without her. And so Eric is immediately like, take my money, take it. You got this, don't worry.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh my god, do the happy dance, Eric. And so we get the like monkey Eric happy dance duo. You can see like everybody in the background of the bank is like loving this.
I hate monkeys. I told you, Jess, the other day when we were talking about on community building, all monkeys are con artists. And this is exactly my issue, is that they are all con artists. You can't trust monkeys. I hate them.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. You can't trust any monkey, I swear to goodness.
So even if you go to like the zoo, you're not even interested like them. In seeing like gorillas? No. Yeah.
I really have
Curious
no interest
George?
In any.
You didn't trust Curious George watching them?
He's the worst. He's too curious.
He is very curious.
He's too curious. It's suspicious.
I just think that you should mind your own business. And Curious George is definitely the worst perpetrator.
Coming from the person who is like, hey, if you have medicine cabinets in your house, I'm gonna fucking look through them.
Yeah, but like, that's not ruining lives. Like, Curious George
That's normal, curious.
Curious George. That, you know, Curious George has no chill. He's heard of curiosity killed the cat, and he said, "I will defy that." And
he said,
"Fuck
you, I'm a monkey." Yeah.
I hate monkeys.
Wow,
they're just rated really low. Tommy on the PSR thing, the bracket game. We didn't we do like an animal draft?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I purposely ranked like the monkeys low as they can go. I like tanked the monkeys.
Otters won the whole thing, which was very shocking to me. But
yeah, I don't know why the otters won.
Otters are having a moment right now. There's a lot of TikToks of otters, and I feel like that's giving them a boost. I saw a TikTok where like the otters stick their little armies through holes and you could like pet them. But otters are secretly bad. I'm not going to tell you why, but just Google it, because they're bad. They're bad.
Are they not monogamous?
They're not consensual.
Yeah.
Moving on. So he's like, oh, where can I find you?
Is that why the beavers were so angry? They're like, we have to deal with those fucking otters all the time.
It could be. Animals in general don't play by our morality rules. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, dogs don't look for consent anyway.
So he cans over the cash. They do their happy dance.
He does. Happy dance happens. Yeah. Then we're at the apartment, the girl's apartment. And like, what the fuck is happening? We have Corey and Sean. Tommy, you were obsessed with this cheese platter. Please tell me you were like looking at the sheer amount of food on this.
I literally have in my notes, what did Rachel cook for dinner the last like week? She got a turkey, a roast. Like
Sunny a whole, like half a pizza,
Chinese food. We got.
Where is it coming from? Like, who orders or makes?
I've never seen Rachel cook.
Maybe they have Friendsgiving.
This is insane. There's like everything here, and they're just like, "Oh, I love how women can't finish their meals and they have to bring them home." Nom nom.
Yeah, but like, who's going to a restaurant and be like, "Hi, I'll take the entire roast."
Exactly. A full turkey. Please make me a Thanksgiving turkey.
Please wrap it up to go.
I can't possibly finish this entire 12-pound jerky.
I will say though, I think. Leftovers better than the actual meal. I would rather have.
Well, it depends on what it is, though. I think.
Yeah,
I think like a leftover French fry. No, like 2 out of 10.
Trash. Yes. Just throw it out.
But leftover pizza, 11 out of 10.
Yep.
Leftover salad is not good.
No, I know that.
Yes, soggy.
Throw in the trash.
This might be a crazy. I don't. Maybe you'll agree. Leftover chicken wings. I like a good cold.
Oh yeah, a cold chicken wing. Yeah, baby.
But it gets chewier.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, I like my foods not chewy.
Well, and like a microwave chicken wing is a no-go because that's just going right. It's just Luke. It's not good. Yeah.
No, I can't. No. So yeah, they're like, Rachel comes out. She's just in a towel because, you know, this is her fucking apartment. And they're like, ooh, to what do we owe this free looky? Which is so creepy. So supremely creepy. They got a key. Topanga gave Corey a key so they can come and go as they please. And Rachel's very upset about this. They didn't even ask her before they did this, which also huge roommate faux pas. At least
yeah,
ask.
That's a problem.
And so then they're like, oh, she didn't tell you. And so then the boys, oh my God, Tommy, I was heated when they're just like, oh, well now we're so uncomfortable and we're going to leave.
They're manipulators so bad. Like, it was such gaslight. This whole scene was so cringe on all levels. The way they talked to her. This is A, your friend, quote unquote, and B, your girlfriend's friend. And you're talking about her and to her so disrespectfully. You should be broken up with instantly and kicked out of the friend group because that is not friendly in any form. It is not appropriate. It's so bad.
You're right. And they turn it around. They make her feel bad. And then she's like, yeah, I guess I do want you all here. And then they get into this whole thing where they start like admitting like what they got into while Rachel wasn't looking.
Yeah. So they like demand that they want horseradish, white, not red. And Corey goes, red. And then they want mac and cheese. They need the Rugrats mac and cheese.
Rugrats, not dinosaurs.
Yeah, which, I mean, the Rugrats mac and cheese was pretty bomb.
So. The character mac and cheese is elite mac and cheese, for sure. But then they're like, oh, well, you know what? We have a list for you. We left it in your underwear drawer while we were in there. This is so supremely far past the line. Like, you can't even see the line. The line isn't in your plane of existence.
I don't go into underwear drawers when I snoop.
I'm so happy to hear that, Sarah. Yeah.
That's over the line.
Yeah. And nobody's upset enough about this. Because, yeah, the underwear drawer in the diary. Like, it's so... And the fact they're like...
Well, they read her diary.
The diary seems a little tempting.
Sarah, like, you're a monster.
And regardless, then rubbing it in her face, like it's just very over the top of like, oh, we're going to tell you all these things and you're not going to be able to do a single thing about it. It's so like,
it's awful.
Gross. It's
awful.
The diary talk is about that easily number. Found.
The what?
Do you have to hide your diaries now in your house?
Sarah, it is in her bedroom. That is a sacred place. It is probably in her bedside table, which is a no-no zone for literally every human being.
That is the no-no zone.
That's where all the naughty things go. You don't go in people's side bedside table.
I know.
It's just out in the living room that I can understand.
You accidentally pick it up. You're like, it's a notebook. Oh, oops, it's a journal. If it's in her bedroom, they have no business being in there.
You can't tell me that if there was somebody's diary just sitting out in the living room, you wouldn't give it a little peek. You can't tell me you would not.
In the living room. No.
It's in the living room, but it was in her bedroom.
So, okay, what happens if it was like right outside of her bedroom? What happens if it's half in the bedroom, half out of the bedroom?
You're not going to convince me this is okay to do.
I'm just saying, I'm the only one that's honest here. Maybe Tommy's half honest.
You know what the thing is, Sarah? It's kind of like I don't give a fuck enough to
I think I would pick it up and then I'd get like anxiety about like the nerves if someone catches me that I would probably like maybe I'd look at the front page and then get throw it down and be like oops.
I just like what am I gonna read that I need to know about, you know?
Well, Jessica, how are you ever going to if you never read my gratitude journal, how will you know if I'm giving you gratitude or not?
I just have to assume you're giving me gratitude every single day.
Every single day.
Every day. That's the number one thing on your list was like, oh my God, Jessica was the best today.
My therapist said that I have to say something new every day, but that would break the rules if I just said Jessica every day.
That sucks.
You say a new thing about her though?
That's true.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I could do that.
There you go.
Except that I would kind of come up short.
So rude. She kicks the boys out, deservedly so.
You're out.
She kicks them out. Corey tosses food back at her, which she throws at his head.
Well, then I think he tossed it right back, which did not feel like Corey. That felt like now that's savage. Like, being like, wait, you were supposed to throw it back. Like, I think it might have been improvised. It's how, I don't know.
Yeah. And so the girls come in and they're like, what's going on here? And Rachel says, you gave them a key. You didn't even ask me. It's supposed to be just the three of us. They ate all my food. And the boys are like, we need carbos for kissing. And I'm like, you were supposed to be out of here.
Also, were they even eating? Like, it was meat.
Yeah, wait, that's not carbs. It's protein.
Maybe the pizza dough, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. And then Rachel says, they read my diary. Corey says, that's not true. And Sean says, if we did, you're a bad girl. They went through my underwear drawer. And again, Corey denies it. Topanga goes over and she's like, did you? And he blames it on Sean. He made me. He says, my name is Sean and I have a problem. I'm like, you guys are freaking sickos. This is absolutely ridiculous. And they like, all they have to do, Tommy, is this little like pouty face and the girls forgive them.
I wish it was that easy.
Tommy's like, I've been in the doghouse for days.
I'm pro pouty face. Not when other people do it, but when I do it.
Yeah, it just, for me with this scene, it's like, I felt like Topanga and Angeline, like, they do yell at them after Rachel leaves, but, like, they should have been way harder on like, Corey and Sean.
They
were inappropriate, not just for your roommate, but, like, if you're dating someone, I would not want my significant other to do any of one of these things. And they did all of them.
Yeah. Especially, totally I got to right. be honest, the underwear drawer thing and the diary thing are really upsetting. But like, if someone dare touch my leftovers, I will literally cut your hand off. Like,
but why does so Rachel need okay? a full ass chicken?
Because that's her full ass chicken. What if she was like, rose. I'm going to make a fucking bomb ass chicken noodle soup with this. They done fucked it up now.
Yeah, they should ask. But also it's like, they're talking about her very flirtatiously in front of their girlfriends. It's like, oh, yeah. They're just so sweet. Look, they're so yeah. innocent. They're not. They're not innocent.
Yeah, and so they're like, oh, you have to forgive them. Can they have their key back? We'll be a big, happy family. And Rachel, you can see she got something brewing behind those freaking eyes. She's like, okay, let's be a big, happy family. And I'm just like, oh, shit's about to go down. Mm-hmm. She's about to get all kinds of real on their ass. And this is when the girls lay into the guys, if you want to call it that.
Why do the girls wait until Rachel leaves for them to yell at the boys?
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know. Like, if you're a couple, you don't want to argue in front of your, although they're arguing in front of their friends. It's kind of weird. They're kind of like a weird, like, I don't know what a four-person version of a thruple is, but that's kind of what this foursome is. They're kind of like a car.
Oh. Who's the front wheels and who's the back?
I think Topanga is definitely one of the front wheels.
Yeah.
And Corey feels like the other front wheel because they're both kind of driving things. Yeah. With like Angela and Sean just kind of following.
Yeah. Yeah. Front wheel drive. Love that for them.
Yeah. And then we're back. Eric returns with the money. Jack's like, oh, great. How did it go at the bank? He's like, oh, I don't have a deposit.
Yeah. Without the money.
Gave it to a monkey.
Yeah. And yeah. Whatchamacallit's like... He freaks out at Eric. Jack freaks out at Eric. He's like, you know, you're a screw up, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mind that he's like addressing this because, like, it is, you know, intent and purpose. We all think it's a scam too. It's the way he does it that I think is a little too intense. Like, I think you could talk to Eric about this without being like so like judgmental. I don't know. Like, it was a lot from Jack.
What does he say, Jess? Yeah. Like, he just...
Oh, the word... He says, he tells him, grow up. When are you going to grow up? You're graduating in May. No more me. No more parents. Mr. Feeney... No more Mr. Feeney to clean up your little messes. This world is going to crush you. I feel sorry for you, but I'm not going to let you drag me down with you. Mm. It's like...
It's not that bad, actually. Well, it's not like he's like, you're a fucking idiot, you're a screw up, you're not worth anything.
I think the worst thing he says is like, we clean up all your messes and the world is going to crush you. I think is like such a mean, like hurtful thing to say to Eric. I feel like you could address this with him without blowing up at him. And Tommy, to me, it's much worse because it's also like in a very, very public setting as well.
Yeah, the public part, and I think to me it's like it gets a little personal. Like you get, I think to Jeff's point, like when you're talking about like you're gonna fail, and we've been just helping you this whole time. Like anything you've done isn't your own success; it's because you have us like taking care of you. Basically, like it's basically implied that Eric's not good at anything, and it's just, I mean, again, Eric does need to take responsibility. All that stuff is, of course, important, but I think there's like taking the jabs at his personality and him personally is where I was like, maybe go back on that.
Yeah. And so we see this like immediately change Eric's behavior because he's like telling the people that he put together in a couple to like stop kissing, you know, put some space between them. Corey and Sean come for their like free hot cocos, which honestly, rightfully so, Eric denies them. And then one of my favorite bits is him yelling at Feeney about like, this happens a lot, I think, on TV shows where people are reading things at like a newsstand or like a bookstore. And he's like, does this look like a library? Pay $14.04. Cough it up. Feeney goes to like take a penny, leave a penny. And Eric like smacks his hand. And then when Feeney goes to put it on a card, Eric cuts it up because he looks at the membership sense instead of the expiration. I just love Feeney losing his shit. He's like, that's card member sense, you moron. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's so good. And this is the thing with Eric. He has like, he's just like all on one side. It's either he's going to be like the super friendly guy, or it's like, oh, you're telling me to be serious? All right, I'm going to be as serious as possible, as intense. But I will say, the Feeney thing, I think good for him calling out Feeney, because This is not the first time we've seen Feeny try to like haggle, get out of like things in a store. Like, I do get irritated by people that read books in stores. It's like, buy the book. Don't just read it so you can read it for free.
Yeah. And
Feeny seems like that kind of guy. Like, I bet you he reads it whole books in stores just so he doesn't have to pay for it.
Are very particular about the spine crack in books. And if you're reading a book in a store, then you're cracking that spine.
Yes.
Oh, it's true. But here's the thing. This is all a part of the Feeny con. Feeny is keeping tabs on everything. There's a reason he's standing around reading a book in the student union, not because he wants to. It's because he has to keep an eye on the Feeny con, make sure everything's going as planned. And Jack is noticing everyone is fucking miserable. Everyone looks so sad. And he's just like, and Feeny's like, what did you do to him? And he's like, oh, I know you wanted me to rub off on him a little bit. And so I made him efficient. He's like efficient for the first time and he's better off for it. And then they look and it's the whole room is so sad. And then Tommy, you work on television and I feel like you would notice this type of thing. Jack goes to the bank and what the fuck is this music that is playing? It's like this like sorrow, like chain gang type of music. I don't know how else to describe it.
All this music, I was gonna bring, yeah, the music is so intense and so sad. Both like with the bank and yeah, like as they're looking at the people sitting sad, it's like, all right, so just in case our actors don't do a good enough job of conveying this, we're going to put the most dramatic music behind this to make you know that, like, this is the low point. This is the darkest timeline.
It's also, it's like any show where all these bankers are in the darkest, drabbest suits. Everyone's in, like, gray, except for Jack, who's, of course, in his student union outfit or his uniform, whatever, and this woman who's begging to get an extension, who's in this like floral dress. So she's like, I'm behind on two payments and how am I going to get my kids to school? And if you take my car, I can't get to work. She doesn't have the money, and Jack is overhearing all of this, of course, tugging at his little heartstrings. And we see like Sarah, he looks over at these two men, like yelling at, like the boss yelling at his like underling.
Yeah.
And he's picturing himself yelling at Eric.
Yeah, he sees himself. If he continues to be cold hearted and unsympathetic, then he sees himself as this boss archetype who's never going to give anybody slack and doesn't really see people as humans. And he doesn't like that in himself. He doesn't like the corporate America type of archetype that he can easily go into, and this colors his opinion on the situation because he doesn't want to be that type of person, that type of cold-hearted person. But then he does something as irresponsible, in my opinion, as Eric. And once again, this is not his business. This is not his money. He can't just give away money to whom he likes to give it away to.
Yeah.
And he decides to give it away to this a woman who did have a very sympathetic, sad story. But hello, you're going to get fired. You're going to get written up. You're probably going to get reported to loss prevention. What are you doing?
The only thing I would say in defense of Jack over Eric is that this woman wasn't targeting Jack in any way. She wasn't going up to him telling him her story. So for me, it's like more believable, not necessarily that she'll return the money, but that at least it's not a scam. Because
it doesn't matter if the outcome is still the same, that you're out of the money that the store.
Oh, right. Because it's not going to matter if she gets you the money the next day or in 7 weeks. Like, it's gone the minute it's gone. And you're going to have to explain that to your manager. Right. So I don't know, Tommy, did you feel any differently? I just felt like Eric's very much feels like a scam. It's like when you get those emails from like princes overseas to send them money. But like Jack's wasn't a scam because the woman wasn't even paying attention to him.
Yeah, Jack's was just a donation because he didn't even ask for the money back.
It's true. That's true.
At least with Eric's, it was like there was a mention of like hey, I'm don't worry, I'll get you, you know, we'll make lots of money after this. It felt a little more like, it's still definitely scammy. I mean, listen, this is all just Feeny's scam. This is all just a paid crew right here anyway.
Oh, they're all actors.
I'm still convinced because, like, this was too on. Feeny was reading that book, really. He was just taking notes so he could write the script for these actors later on.
Yes, totally agreed. He also set this part up, definitely. So Jack hands over the money. He's like, here, don't be like me. You can have this money. Then we get boys making out with the girls in the apartment. They're like, oh, we feel kind of bad. Rachel's in her room all by herself. She comes out in the purple number. And they're like, the boys are being pervy and like gawking. She puts on music and starts dancing. The girls are getting irritated because she's like, Sarah, she's like skipping and she's like drying dishes and like shaking her butt.
She's being saucy. I guess that's like the easiest way to put it. Mm-hmm. Is that she's just like, remember, we're one big happy family. Like families, you dress in lingerie and dance around, I guess. I mean, this is not how my home looked, but who knows? Maybe Rachel's home is a lot more
naked.
A lot more naked. Maybe they have a naked house.
You know, I think Rachel's point is like, I should be able to be free in my house. And if that's what I'm going to do, like, you have to see that, like, I think it's also like pointing to the boys and basically letting them prove like what they've been doing. Because clearly talking about it wasn't enough for Tabinga and Angela. But actually seeing it, I guess, makes a big difference. Either way, they should have been on set before this. But
yes, definitely. Especially because when Rachel's like, oh, is there space on the couch? They shove the girls off the couch to make space for her. And immediately, like, they get Rachel's point of, like, they shouldn't be snooping in her underwear drawer. They shouldn't be reading her diary. So they kick the boys out and take their key. And they say, they're not cute. They're pigs. And they agree. And I do like the girls apologizing. Like, you know, we were insensitive. We shouldn't have done that, you know, on and on and on. But I like Rachel here, Sarah. She's like, we should set some boundaries, which I think is appropriate in a roommate relationship.
Yeah, you definitely have to set those boundaries when you first move in with somebody. Who's going to take the trash out when, what days, who's going to buy the toilet paper, what nights is it appropriate to bring guys over? These are the types of things that you have to talk about to have a successful roommate relationship.
Yeah. And the boys decide to be creepy again, Tommy, and try to look through the people.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I bet they're thinking about what they've done. Of course they don't, because it's Corey and Sean, and they become the worst human beings, and they're trying to look through the door. It's awful. Get them off the show. We don't need Boy Meets World. Let's just have
Let's have Girls Meet World.
We did.
We don't want that, though. So Jack comes back ready to talk to Eric. Eric is still losing his mind, telling people they have to share sweet and low and stirring sticks and all that. And he's like, just one stirring stick. And Jack says, you know what? No, I was wrong. People, like, I thought I had to be that way to succeed, but that's not true. And then Eric's trying to limit people to one napkin. And I'm like, we all know those shitty, like, thin ass napkins. You need more than one of those. It's not enough. Yeah. One is not enough.
But you don't need as much as Chipotle gives you in your to-go bag, because they give you a whole lot of napkins.
Do they? Okay, I believe you.
I feel like I can get away with three of those thin napkins. I can usually eat a meal.
I think depends on what I'm eating, but I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is when Jack realizes the Feeny con all along. And again, Feeny is sitting at the table waiting for this moment to happen,
staring at them,
pretending to read a book, and he's just like, "Yeah, you know what? You were right. It was a fucking Feeny con the whole ass time."
Mm-hmm.
You love to see it.
Do you think he just got bored in retirement? And he's like, one more con. Got to get back in the game.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so. I think that he's been missing his old ways, especially his season 1, season 2 days, where he was just conning people all over the place.
Yeah, and like, this is what I miss about the early days, is like, there was always a moral of the story, and it does not feel like that anymore. We do get kind of one here where he says, you know, to succeed you're gonna need Jack's mind and Eric's heart, and like, he goes on, you know, a little bit of a speech about that, but this is when Eric finds out that Jack didn't actually deposit the money, and Jack says, yeah, I gave it to a lady who like actually really needed it, and I'm gonna like work really hard to pay it back. And this is when little monkey Eric comes in and sits on Eric's shoulder. And hey, it's a big guy, Erica.
Big Eric and Little Eric, do your happy dance.
Yeah, Isabella's here too.
Aww.
So how do we feel about this? This was not a con, kind this of a con?
The only way this is a real thing is because Feeny set this shit up. Like, there's absolutely 0% chance that this is anything other than a Feeny con.
Maybe it's a pay it forward moment. You know, the universe. No, it's definitely a Feeny con. I think we all.
But sorry. I hate Starbucks pay it forward. Can we end that?
What the fuck is that?
That's when you're in the drive-thru and somebody pays for your drink and you're supposed to pay for the person behind you's drink. But the issue lies where you order yourself one beverage and person behind you
full of people
has like a car full of people and they order sandwiches and all this shit. And you're stuck paying instead of $4, you're wound up paying $30.
Can I say how to avoid this very easily?
You say no.
Just stop going to Starbucks.
No.
Have you seen the TikTok that's kind of like this, where it's like you could take this item or give the next person double of whatever it is?
Yes. I do like that. Okay. So that I can do because Jessica, so I come up to you and I say, I will give you this $5 or you can give $10 to the next person. What would you do?
What do you mean give $10 to the next person? The next person that person
I'm
approaches?
Going to double it, and the next person I'll give them $10. So what do you do? Do you want to take the $5 or do you want to give $10 to the next person?
Oh, I don't actually have to give any money.
Yeah. No.
Oh, well then, yeah, I would say give $10 to the next person. They probably need it great. More.
Okay, so Tommy, do you want this $10 or do you want to give this $20 to the next person?
Oh man, $10 is nice, but yeah, I'll give the twenty.
So that's the trend.
I think I would hit my limit.
Up.
I think I would hit my limit at like $40. I feel like I would take $40.
Okay, I mean sometimes you get upwards of like $1,000, Jessica.
Holy shit, yeah. They don't do that for $1,000. That's crazy.
When I've seen items too, I saw one that was vodka bottles and it was $8, and I'm like, that's too much vodka for one person.
Vodka bottle. What the fuck?
Think about it. If we got double two, it would have been 16 bottles to the next.
That's a lifetime's worth of vodka. Like, I'm not a vodka gal. Like, that's so much vodka.
So much.
What kind of vodka was it?
I think Tito's.
Hey,
it's not bad. I was gonna say if it was Smirnoff, fuck that shit. I don't want any of it.
No, we gotta go big.
Wow. Actually, that's our episode anyway. So.
Yeah.
Little Eric and Isabella.
Get the money back.
Yeah. I was gonna say the lesson I think is like, I think it also gives us a little bit into this duo of, you know, now that Rachel's kind of separate from them, they're reestablishing that like Jack and Eric need each other. They have the best qualities of each other and they can both learn from each other.
Yeah.
The other lesson, I guess, is men are pigs. Because like there was not much from the other story.
And I did. That's the thing, is like, I like the trio of girls, and I'm kind of sad that like Sean and Corey got back together so quickly with Angela and Topanga, and we didn't get more girl time for the three of them as roommates, you know?
We don't have a storyline that's just about, it's, you know, it was either like Jack and Eric being part of Rachel's storyline, or now it's, you know, dealing with your roommates having boyfriends. It's like always a man has to be involved into the storyline to make it work.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be that way.
Annoying. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test. But let's go to a quick ad break and we're going to come back to talk. They're killing us. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are back. We have some weird ass like interview documentary shit that's going on right here. Tommy, is this secretly why you wanted this episode? Because you were like, I know all about documentaries. Let's go, baby.
It was one of my, so I had a three-step program here. I picked these episodes. A, Little Eric, Big Eric cracked me up. I love the happy dance. And then in this episode, it's both the doc style and the Eric stuff is just too funny for me, and I still remember this, like, it that lives rent free in my head. That and we'll meet her later, but their wedding planner also lives rent-free in my
head.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, the doc style. I do know everything about documentaries. Clearly, working in the industry makes me fully capable.
Obviously.
Expert. I guess this is a documentary. They're talking with a black screen behind them.
Yeah, it's really strange. We start out with they're like, we have a big problem, and who better to come to than you? They're talking. It's basically an entire episode dedicated to wedding planning. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, okay, fine. I honestly, Sarah, I gotta be honest, did not remember a lick of this episode.
Wow, really? Because mm-hmm. I very much remember every aspect of this episode. And yeah. I and it's everything from especially the bridesmaid dresses. You didn't remember that. It's the wedding planner, it's the fires. I remember this episode so well.
See, I think it's one of the better episodes of season 7, which isn't saying
it's a good episode. But so you didn't remember it, but did you remember why they were like, what was your guess who they were talking to? Did you think that they were talking to a marriage counselor? Did you think that they were getting interviewed for something?
They were getting interviewed for like young couples getting married, or getting like interviewed for Pembroke for some fucking dumb made up reason that doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah,
honestly, it could have been anything. But I gotta be honest, I'm very happy I didn't remember these bridesmaid dresses, because I'm going to have to bleach my brain to get them out of my memory at this point. Like, I just can't. I honestly cannot believe that Topanga thought these were good. I don't understand.
Yeah. No, they're pretty terrible.
You don't want to make them the merch of Shit 90 shows?
No, they're so supremely hideous. The first thing that happens is the girls, so it's Angela and Rachel, come out in their bridesmaids' dresses. They look like little, like pastel little Bo Peeps. They're like these huge cupcake dresses with the like gloves, like the silk gloves, these hideous hats, there's bows all over them, and Topanga's like crying, she thinks they're so pretty. Like, Tommy, like, these are so ugly.
And this is where like their character traits of themselves, so like Topanga, I feel like, has enough knowledge to know that these aren't great, and yet they're like, no, we don't care, this is a funny bit, we're just gonna shoehorn Topanga into caring about this. Yeah, they are terrible dresses. I will say, I do think that this is Morgan's best episode ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she hasn't been seen in eons, but this was definitely just, Morgan was killing it the entire time. She goes, what are you, psycho? Topanga, we look like clowns. Horn honking, big shoe wearing clowns. My favorite moment is when she gets out of the dress and she just attacks it. Die.
Well, because you got to add parasols. They really put, I will say, I think it made it better. I think it made the dresses better.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing this like with my friend's moms, like when they got married in the 80s, like this type of dress was definitely of the times. Horrible though, really bad. I've been a bridesmaid a number of times, nothing quite like this. I think my worst bridesmaid dress I ever wore, it was part sage green, part champagne. It was like a two-toned dress. It was nasty.
Champagne is not freaking flattering on anyone.
But it was also sage green, Jessica.
I mean, green is pretty bad as well.
Oh yeah, it was mostly green with like a panel of champagne. It was ridiculous.
Ugh. The biggest con of all time is Topanga saying like, oh, you'll get to wear them all over again. No one ever wears bridesmaid's dress ever again.
Nope. Well, and to that point, do you think the move, I've seen this recently in some weddings that I've been to, where it's like you pick a color, but then the bridesmaids can pick any dress they want.
Yeah, I've seen this. That's any reasonable. Cut, because not every cut is going to be flattering to every body shape. I've also seen people are doing, first of all, less doing bridal parties in general, but also like, oh, you could wear like, oh, jewel tones. So you wear green, you wear blue, you wear purple, you know, whatever. And it's way more open. I personally, I only had a maid of honor, and that was it. But I was like, hey, would you rather wear this color or this color? And then she tried on a bunch of different dresses. I was like, whichever one you like the best, I don't care. Because who cares? No one's going to be looking at you. No offense. You're looking at me.
Yeah.
Nothing you wear is going to change that. No offense.
If I had a bridesmaid, which I don't think I will whenever I get married, I would have chosen black and then have my girls pick whatever long black dress they like. Black is so classy.
Black is classy. Black was one of the color options I gave my maid of honor. I said you could be wear black or you could wear like a maroon burgundy type of color.
I went to a wedding once where the colors were orange and purple. And it,
no!
Yeah, it was like
what kind of monsters do that?
Well, and then the snack bar was all orange themed. So it was all there was a candy bar that was all orange candies.
No, let me just tell you something. Not everything has to fit a specific theme. Looking at you, Topanga. Looking at you, people who do weird orange and purple foods. Like, just make normal food. It's okay. It's all right.
You don't want a Southern Belle wedding.
Not at all. Because yeah, guess what? I'm not from the South.
She's not. She's from Philly. Oh, yeah, Topanga, the theme of weddings should just be wedding.
Yeah, should be, hi, we're getting married. Yeah. What a theme. Can you imagine it?
Yeah, you can have color themes, but not orange and purple.
What's your color story? I just can't. I truly, I know I've been married and I did the wedding planning bit. A lot of it is bullshit. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's bullshit.
I don't know, guys. I'm big on themes. I feel like it just needs to be more elaborate. Like, just go space themed.
Go bigger?
Just like, yeah, super big things. Oh. I mean, I always got to pitch ideas on here. Have I told you my funeral home idea?
Please tell me.
All right.
I don't know if you have.
All right. Picture this. Okay. You know how motels have themed rooms? So this is Reverend Tommy's fun funeral home. And fun is capital. It's like fun because it's super fun because each room in the funeral home will be themed. So Grandpa really loved the beach. You take Grandpa to the beach themed room, and that's where his funeral could be.
If there's, is there like a bouncy house room? I feel like that would be a good option.
Bouncy house. What if Grandpa's favorite holiday was Halloween? Set him up in the Halloween room. He can hand out candy one last time.
Like Dia de los Muertos. Like...
So I don't know.
Literally the day of the dead.
I just think they need to get more extreme with the themed weddings.
Wow. I think if you go full tilt, I'm in on it. Because if you're going to go full tilt, go full tilt. Like, if you want people to, like, literally come in costume to your wedding, fine. Topanga is at the point where she's taking this too seriously, and she also says the word y'all, which we've never, ever heard her say once. She's like, fine, screw y'all. And I'm like, who are you? Excuse me? Who are you? Yeah. And I love Corey in the interview questioning this, where he's like, what do you mean? What about a theme? She's like, every wedding has to have a theme. And he's like, but why? She's like, I want us to be Gone with the Wind. And he says, okay, well, frankly, my dear, that's not the theme I want. And she's like, fine, what do you want? And he's like, have a nosh. I go with Corey.
Yeah, why is Corey going full Jew in this? Like, he's like, why does he want bagels and like Knox and brisket at his wedding? Like, Ben Savage, yes, Jewish. Corey is not.
No, we know he celebrates Christmas.
He celebrates Christmas.
He talks about God all the time.
Well, I mean,
now.
Yeah.
I just love that a wedding has like a tagline, like have a nosh! Exclamation point with Corey and Topanga.
Yeah. Well, this was pre-hashtags, right?
Pre-hashtag, yeah. Now it's a hashtag thing. I had a great hashtag for my wedding.
What was your hashtag?
Well, I can't say it because I'm not going to dox my husband on the podcast. Oh. But it was a pun on happily ever after, as well as I.
Okay. Tommy, have you ever heard of Amanda Knox's Star Wars themed wedding?
No.
And yes, that is the Amanda Knox that,
one that was like accused of murder and everything.
Accused of murder, killing her roommate in Italy.
Allegedly.
She had a Star Wars themed wedding.
To be honest, maybe that is part of it. Like, it's like, I really need people to not focus on the big elephant.
Let me focus on Star Wars.
Focus on the Star Wars.
That's hilarious. Wedding. Yeah. So yeah, so they have more than just this for the issue. They have a guest list of 270 people.
Wow.
How the fuck are you inviting like fifth cousins? How the fuck do you get to 270?
Have we even seen that many people on the show?
No. Yeah, they have a hall that seats 80.
This is irresponsible.
It is. They're like, oh, a lot of people won't show, and the old people have shrunk.
And the so what? They're going to take up less like table space? You're going to fit like 30 old people to a table?
This doesn't make any sense. This is so freaking stupid. So they're like, well, we've been keeping it together. And so then we get like Corey and Topanga in like the student union chatting about the honeymoon. She talks about trekking in Peru, river rafting in Colorado. And he's like, you know what? I don't care. You want to know why? She's like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, you know what I want to do. Like, Tommy, it's so gross. Make him stop.
Why does Topanga want to marry Corey? Like, at this point, why? Like, he is giving nothing. His only personality traits right now is just wanting sex. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. He's gross.
It's true. But the way he says honeymoon, doesn't that endear you to him?
It was funny.
I love honeymoon.
But it like, did until he says, you owe me.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't good.
Not great.
Yeah, we've been in a relationship for 17 years. Do you know what I've gotten all that time? Let me touch something. It's gross. It's not good. It's not good.
Why do you think the show is like, okay, this is, we're going to go all in on this. And
I think they were like, this is what the teens want to hear about is sex, but we can't actually go there because we're a family show. So we're just going to have him talk about it all the time.
Yeah. And I do think to their point at the time, a lot of this humor did work for people like this, you know, this was funny to people be like, ah, yes, he just wants the sex. It's ha ha ha. And it's, you know, obviously this day and age.
I mean, something that I don't think we've talked about, Sarah, yet so far this season. It's so distracting to me these past couple episodes. Topanga's eyebrows are so spermy.
Oh,
they're the spermiest they've ever been. The 90s did a number on this girl. And let me tell you, we've seen Danielle Fishel. Thank God those eyebrow hairs grew back because some of us scarred for life because of the 90s and our eyebrows.
You're right. They are very spermy. I think I was more distracted by the fact that Topanga has been dressing like a bank teller for the last 5 episodes. And I kind of hate that more than her brows. Like, what happened to Topanga's style? She is full pencil skirt, full cardigan, full like button up shirt where, I am a, you know, what's our tagline of this show?
Oh, big boobs, no brains.
No brains, big. Exactly. All boobs, no brains. Yeah, exactly.
What's our tagline? All boobs, that's no our brains.
Tagline. But those button up shirts, no matter how much I want to pull it off,
you're going to have a keyhole in the middle. You can't do it. You're going to have a hole in the middle because you got the boobs.
Yeah. So, like, it doesn't work. Like, I wish I was one of those girls that can make that look cool. Like Hailey Bieber, like I will never look like her with a button-down shirt. And Topanga, I'm sorry, you look like a bank teller in these outfits.
And it's weird because it's like in the early seasons when she probably should have been wearing more conservative-looking outfits, they were giving her all the style, all the you know, the sex appeal. And now that she's an adult, it's like, all right, we got to make her super modest.
Well, because we're going to eventually hit on the storyline of like, oh my God, I'm so fat, which I also extremely I can't wait to rip this show to shreds when we get to that point. Her choices of fashion are really strange this season. And then we get to the point where it's like, okay, well, we got to pick a best man now. It was down to Sean and my brother. And Sean is like so kind. He's like, you know what, I know you're like under pressure and you should just choose Eric. Like, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's the right thing to do. And it's like, oh, that's so sweet, Tommy.
Good guy, Sean. Like, yeah, like this is, it's a tough situation. I was a best man once, and same kind of situation where it was like me and then my best friend's brothers. And he picked me, and I found out like there was some, it was touchy. And there was definitely like, I think a lie told that was like, oh, you were chosen because he didn't want to choose the brothers. Then I talked to him and he's like, that's not entirely.
Oh, because he didn't want to choose between the brothers. But
Yep, I was easy, but it's a tough situation because you don't want to, as the best friend, you don't want to seem like you're better than the family. and yet you do have a close relationship. So it is a very tough situation. So I think Sean just taking his, taking himself out of the equation is a nice thing to do.
In my opinion, I feel like Sean knew Eric was going to fuck it up and that he would become the best man anyway.
It's a Sean con.
I think it's a Sean con. Like, Sean has grown up with this family and he's grown up with Eric. And I think that he knows what to expect from Eric.
Yeah, even Corey says he's gonna drop the rings down the minister's pants and then jump in after them. Like, we know he's going to do this. He's going to knock over candles. The whole church is going to be set on fire. There's the fire department. It's like they all know this is a terrible idea. And they all know that, like, Topanga's going to blame Corey. And then Corey's like, and I'm not going to get any on the honeymoon. So Corey's just like, you know what? I want to pick you, Sean. But Eric comes in and he says, you know what? I'm bigger and I'm stronger. Because this is so important. And to show him, he's going to pick up Corey, as one does at a wedding. And you know what? He's going to set the dorm room on fire, Sarah. Not only is that going to happen, the fire... Okay, these responders are the quickest responders I've ever seen in my entire life. They don't even try to open the door. They immediately move to cutting it down with an axe.
yeah, these firemen work faster than my Sims do when they get a fire. They just rush right in. And yeah, and then as Tommy was singing earlier, we get in the tune of "For He's a Jolly Good Fellow," they're chopping up the dorm room, they're chopping up the dorm room. And then Corey says, "My brother is a moron," which nobody can deny.
Hey,
so funny. Yeah. Laughed out loud.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. But it's like, it's hard to be mad at Eric because it's so funny. It is so funny that he's like, he's got the job and he messes it up immediately.
He was doing like the shuffle or the...
I don't think you're allowed to have open flames in dorm rooms, and this is probably why.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have candles in dorm rooms. That's a big rule.
Yeah. And so Corey in the interview is like, you know what? Sean is going to be my best man and I don't want to hear anything from anybody. And he's all upset. And Topanga's just like, he's so tense. And so then he goes to talk to his dad about this, and Alan sucks here. Alan is like, you're going to choose Sean over your flesh and blood. You're dead to me. And then Amy finds out and she says, you're scum.
You scum.
Such dramatics. This is so ridiculous. Like, this is very much this is probably very like 90s to like, oh, you have family members, they need to be in your wedding party, and your brother or your sister or whomever better be your best man or your maid of honor, or you fucking suck.
Yeah, I mean, I do think his parents are very traditional, but we've also seen them like break the mold. So like, it did feel weird, this and the upcoming scene with Alan. Again, it's like I said earlier, the caricatures, like they focus on one or two details and they were just like really hitting him home. Like, Alan's this cheapo depot that wants his family in the wedding and that's it. He's not going to be, you know, he's going to be very strict. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Alan, what happened to the Alan that used to paint the fence for his son so that he could go.
Yeah. Yeah, the good old times.
Yeah,
this very much feels like Alan is pulling from, like, this doesn't make any sense, though. He's like, Eric, all he wanted was a little brother, and then we had you, and we thought you could go through the world together. And I'm like, Eric was a shitty older brother for, like, 5 seasons. Like, why does he, and Sean has been his best friend forever, why does he deserve to be best man?
You've also said Sean's like family. You've said that before. You've also that Eric's you literally have said Eric's an idiot that shouldn't be trusted with anything. And yet now they're having this hard stance.
Yeah. It's so stupid. So finally they guilt Corey into agreeing. Eric is like so excited about this. He lights a fucking sparkler, Sarah, in the house, and no one stops him.
He's celebrating. He's just trying to have a good time. This is his celebration. He won the battle. He's ready to take down the war, and everybody just watches the sparkler, and it starts coming down and it starts to burn his finger, and then he throws it, and then the entire back window starts going. And we know that window, that's the same exact door slash window that got smashed by, what was it, the vase? Was it a football? Who knows?
It was some kind of ball. No, it was a doll. It was Morgan's doll that smashed a vase that broke the window. Yeah. Yeah. And then we get these, again, very reliable first responders. Can I say, in both instances of these fires, if you're watching with the keen eye, there's one fireman who's poking at the ceiling both times for whatever fucking reason. And he's making pieces of the ceiling fall down. And I'm like, my guy, there was no fire on the ceiling. The fuck are you doing?
Helpful.
He's making sure the house is sturdy.
Keep it quiet up there. And then I love that, like, Alan and Amy have waited for the firemen to arrive, put out the fire before they're like, oh, we have a baby upstairs.
Poor Joseph or Jared. What's the baby's name again?
Who fucking cares? No one knows.
Joshua.
Baby Joshua's burning.
I'm so sorry. I get zero fucks about
that. That's what Joshua. The fireman's poking is his bassinet through the floor.
There's literal pieces of ceiling crumbling. Yeah. I can't.
Yeah. Do you think that the firemen are just on call for Eric? Like, do you think the reason they're so quick is because they just follow him around town? Because this happens pretty frequently.
Yeah, and we thought that Sean was the one that blew stuff up around town. Turns out it was Eric the whole time.
Yeah, and so then Topanga has the fucking audacity to get upset when Amy's like, hey, I have this hideous ass gown for you to wear. And I honestly can't tell you what the fuck this dress was, but it's back to Topanga's roots a little bit because it's a little doily. And like, the hat is the worst offense to me, Sarah. I don't understand what this is.
Okay, so take away the hat, take away the front flap, extend the sleeves, and this
you're changing the entire dress.
Okay, Sarah. Okay. But it might not be that bad if you take away these few key elements. Mm-hmm. The front flap is very offensive. I mean, as we talked about, Topanga has...
Let the chest breathe a little. Oh, like, I'm not saying you have to do like a deep V, but give the breasts some air. So
I'm not loving the front flap. The hat's ridiculous, but you can use elements of this. And it was interesting to me because I was thinking, okay, so can we make this into her bridal shower dress? Like, can she use this in some capacity? Maybe if we modernize it a little bit. But Amy said that this dress has been passed down for years and years and years. And she would be honored if Topanga would wear it. And it's a nice sentiment, but of course Topanga is not going to wear that dress.
And Tommy, it's not even like, here's the thing about wedding dresses. Like, you have to like do a whole preservation situation. This bitch looks like it's been in the closet getting eaten by moths. And it's like not even white anymore. It's like this ugly, like off white from like discoloration. I hate it, Tommy. I truly do.
Yeah, it's not great. And like, yes, Topanga, hypocritical. But it is your wedding, and if you want your bridesmaids in terrible outfits, but you want to wear a great dress, I guess that's okay. I just think a lot of the people, I think what I'm realizing is, like, everyone's just thinking of themselves. Like, almost every single character, it's very self-interested behavior. And, you know, no one's thinking about what Topanga and Corey want. But I think there's a way to compromise, though, Topanga, because they are going to be your mother-in-law. Like, you know, so... maybe not wear the full dress, but take a piece of it, put it on your dress or something like that.
Yeah. There's a way to incorporate it for sure. I don't know why Topanga saying, oh, poo, cracked me up so much, but it did. And then Morgan, again, Oscar-worthy winning performance here, where she's just like, that is the most beautiful dress. She deserves that dress. And she's like fake crying. And I also am like, why is Morgan still wearing the bridesmaid's dress at this point?
Like, I feel like they have to continuously get in it and out of it throughout the episode. I really also thought it was funny, these little bits where Corey is like crying for his grandparents. I thought that was so funny. This is a good episode. I'm not gonna lie.
He talks about his grandpa Poppy or something dying in jail, Tommy. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
They just throw out relative names left and right just to like throw them out. But yeah, Nana Boo Boo's still alive though. But yeah, like Topanga acted like that was weird, but you're the one that said the ghost of Nana Boo Boo. You set up that Nana Boo Boo died.
Yeah. But everything's gonna be okay.
Which one's Nana Boo Boo?
Which one's one of the 270 guests? We meet Judy Haberfeld.
Judy Haberfeld.
She's gonna be their wedding planner. Amy and Alan arrive. They're just like, you know what? We're gonna be here for all of this as well. And he's doing like an Ed McMahon impression. It's truly awful. He needs to stop with all of the impressions. And Judy's just like, listen, the hall seats 80. You've invited, you know, I can't possibly fit more than 65.
Yeah, why did we go down to 65 because of all the details?
I don't fucking know. I don't know what about a Southern Belle wedding involves more space.
Is it the dresses are so big that we can't fit 80?
Maybe the decorations are going to add big arches. Maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is not sustainable, this wedding planning. But we get Alan, as Tommy was saying earlier, being really like cheap throughout this process.
Yeah, he's only paying for like what, the drinks and is it the
drinks
music?
And the music. So
we get the musical options.
Yeah, the musical options, which is definitely, I don't know, the randos that you find in New York City or Vegas.
Well, it's funny because it's like they made them all so terrible. There's an old man who's drinking out of a flask at the exact moment the camera's on him. There's two Elvis impersonators. There's some mariachi looking guy. Actually, the best looking one probably looks like a guy who has the harmonica and an acoustic guitar. We have a woman with a giant marching drum. And then we have what looks to be like, I guess he's a rapper. He's smoking a cigarette in the room.
That one was probably going to be the best.
Well, I guess he's more of a DJ, so probably.
Yeah, I thought that he was going to be like a cool DJ.
Yeah. Alan definitely just grabbed whoever was outside the building before they came in. Like, he did not do much effort finding music talent.
And here's the thing.
No.
Feeny comes in. He went all Ron Swanson Duke Silver, before Duke Silver existed, and he was playing the trumpet, and I gotta say, he was like the fucking best one. Get Feeny, get a couple of other like string instruments or something, and you fucking get to go.
No, he's in a jazz band, so it's gonna
get
be
some jazz instruments, a saxophone,
brass. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, notoriously, saxophone is the sexiest instrument, so
I've heard. Yeah, yeah. Feeny's jazz band wasn't so bad. I can feel the talent.
Yeah.
He was talented. But again, just like Feeny being cheap, he's trying to get out of giving a gift. He's like, I'll play at the wedding and
this
then I don't have
like
to
more
give
more work
gift.
Than just buying a gift, to be honest.
It's more work, but saving that money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Judy is just like, Georgie? Georgie? It's Judy. Judy Haberfeld, or whatever her name is. This is hilarious to me, Sarah. I love anytime we get a little bit of Feeny lore. And
yeah,
I love finding out that there was a woman that he, like, is trying to avoid at all costs.
Yeah, exactly. I really would love to see the scenes of what happened between Judy Haberfeld and Feeny. Like, I feel as though there's something really interesting here, but all we know is that they were involved. Judy Haberfeld is very interested, and Feeny is very not interested and has been trying to avoid her for a really long time. So much so that he runs out and tries to jump over the fence and falls into the pool or something crazy.
Yeah,
like
he lands
that.
In a pool. Tommy, he even makes up, he had a mission for the government, espionage. Hush, hush. He was working for North Korea. What's happening?
Doing good
this
work.
This is great, great Feeny stuff here. But yeah, how many dates do we think they went on? Like, it's clear that Feeny ghosted her hard, which like,
oh yeah,
Feeny, whoa, you player, you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, Feeny's not making salads for Judy Haberfeld, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. I love, also, can I just say, this might be controversial. I think Feeny rocks the fedora. I think he looks good in the fedora. I think he pulls it off.
Yeah, I can't believe that William Daniels was able to sprint that fast at this age.
He is so fucking
fast. Very sprightly in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to see if it was like a stunt double for him, just the hustle, but it wasn't. It was a clear scene. It was clearly Feeny the whole time.
Yeah,
and Dree's just like, they all do that.
They all do one that. Of them. They all do that.
I plow on.
Yeah. And then Sean comes in and Judy Haberfeld is like, who is this? And then he's like, who are you? I Feeny just ran out of here screaming Judy Haberfeld.
Yeah. And like Corey's trying to explain to Sean everything that's going on. Like my dad's being cheap. Feeny ran out of here. Topanga's eye won't stop twitching.
Wait, I love the eye twitching.
It's so good. It's yes, so good.
How do you not remember the eye twitching?
How did you remember this?
I didn't remember this. Really? I gotta be honest. I didn't remember this. But like when it, okay, I will say that was the sole moment in this episode that when it happened, I was like, okay, that triggered something in my brain. The rest of it, not at all. But so the eye twitching is legendary.
Yeah, and then Sean's like, okay, I have a surprise for you. And he calls in the bridesmaids, Rachel, Angela, and Morgan. And I love the rehearsed things that each girl says. Rachel says, I totally love my bridesmaid dress. It's really nice. It's kind of, and then Angela comes in and goes, I feel like a delicate Georgia peach. Thank you for letting me. I am thrilled to wear this dress. Thank you. And then Morgan comes over. Legend. And you know, this is the thing. Like if Morgan could pull this off, then anything's possible. But yeah. Morgan says, I'm sorry that I was selfish. I should have known better. And then she says that she was inconsiderate. Mm-hmm. This is your wedding. I'm going to tell you the truth. She looks back at Sean. Sean looks at her encouragingly and she goes, your friends are stinking liars.
Yeah, Sean paid them $50 each and I would use this dress to wipe my, and then Alan covers her and drags her
and drags her off. I do like, this dress is too big on Morgan, so instead of like big poof sleeves, it becomes an off the shoulder moment, and I thought that looked better.
It's a very low bar, Sarah. Okay.
Well, then we have Jack come in with the tightest shirt that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, Tommy, what do you think of season 7 Studler Jack?
Yeah, they really went all in on like, mm-hmm. you know, no more sweet Jack. Jack is a bougie. Jack is a bougie bitch. Like he is.
Bougie bitch.
And they're not going to hide that.
And the shirts are tight.
Yeah, I just want to give Morgan her kudos one more time. Like, great episode for you. Wish we would have had this all season. We need sassy Morgan. She could have added so much to the show.
I agree with that. Yeah. Eric is wearing a cape or a cloak.
I remember this so vividly too. Eric.
One of my favorite lines is when Jack is there. So Jack walks in with him. Cut Jack. Walks in with him. And he says, don't do this. Look at me. I'm begging you. And Eric says, quiet, half-breed.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
It doesn't make any sense. Is it because he's Sean's half-brother? I don't know, but it's funny because it makes no sense. And like Jack just looks so embarrassed. And Eric is just like, hello, everyone.
When did you figure out what he was going to do?
When he did it?
Yeah, like it came back to me right away. And I'm like, oh, no, Eric. I'm like, Jack. I'm like, don't do it, Eric. Don't do this.
Okay, so what about this outfit? He takes off the cloak and he's wearing like a Hugh Hefner robe.
I love this robe. This gold, the gold worked for him. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's like Eric. A bronze moment. It is very Hefner. And Topanga's eyes.
I love the eye. This is so good.
Yeah. Topanga, I loved you. I've always loved you ever since I saw you through that peephole in the bathroom. What are we doing? Topanga's like second eye starts switching. And he's like, I know how you've secretly longed for me. So let's drop this charade. And he like cleans the floor with his like pocket square. I don't know. And he says, what is happening? He says, Topanga, marry me and let's make Nick Nick. Tommy, what are we doing here? Tommy's just dying.
It's just, Eric's crazy, but they really just went right into it. And they're, I like that it's unapologetic. Like, we just had to go along with the ride. Eric's going to propose to his brother's fiance.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't, because he is throwing a hissy fit because he wasn't allowed to be the best man because he started a fire.
Yeah.
Two fires.
I think from now on, I'm only going to refer to having sex as Nick Nick.
Yeah. See how that goes.
Let's make Nick Nick.
Wilfredo is like in his element here. Like, he loves like adding extra inflections to words. And yeah, the way he says Nick, he's like, let's have Nick Nick. Like, it's like,
yeah. And I love Corey just saying, get him. And she dives,
lunges at him.
Yeah. And so that's when we're back to like screen grab this, they slow motion it, whatever, they stop on this. And they're like, you know what? That's what got us to here. They're just like, we weren't expecting this wedding planning to be so difficult. I don't think we're going to make it till June. And Sarah, we get to Topanga's eye twitching again.
It's so good. This is really when I was laughing throughout this episode, and I think like the eye twitching was just so well done. And we don't see Topanga funny very often, but I think that Danielle Fishel did a great job leaning into her comedy chops in this moment. Like, she really doesn't get those especially like physical comedy beats, but this really works for me. I thought it was great. And I love how she's like, I know I'm twitching, back off. Mm-hmm. So they're now talking as if they're talking to the family. Were you getting that vibe yet, Jess?
Yeah, definitely. And I got to be honest, on a second watch, I did notice that as much as it's black in the background, you can kind of see the, like, we're so used to seeing this background. You can kind of see the drapes covering the doors and the teeny tiny door handle.
I was able to notice the couch. The couch that they're sitting on is the Matthews couch.
Yeah. And so we get this, like, it's so, like, produced and heavy-handed. They're like, oh, you turned this whole thing into a freak show. Like, it's been way more tricky than we thought. And so we hear them saying, like, we don't think we're going to survive an 8-month engagement. And so, like, what do they even – they even say something like 8 Central or like 7 p.m. 8 Central.
Yes.
Which is such a Tommy. This is like, I remember growing up and being like, what is Central? What are they talking about?
Yeah. Whenever, you know, being on the East Coast, I had the privilege of never really worrying about time because they now living on the other coast. I now see why that sucks. Cause you had to learn.
We're the elite
zones.
East Coasters. Everything is on our time, baby.
But yeah, they have the invitation and it has like the Friday at 8, which is like, obviously it's because of the show, but that would be a very late wedding.
That's a pretty late wedding. Yeah. I guess it doesn't super matter because it's just friends and family. They're not going to do the big thing. They're not going to do the wedding planner. The lights all come on and they're like talking to their family again. The girls are wearing the bridesmaids dresses. Dear God, no. Let them out of there. But yeah, we do see like the actual wedding invitation. And it says your RSVP is requested at CoreyandTopanga.com.
Yeah. And we all went to www.CoreyandTopanga.com. We all saw that it was down. And then I personally went to the Reddit and found the Wayback Machine and found the old website link.
Yeah.
And it was zesty. Good times.
It's very fun. And we, like, they're talking to the camera, like, after this. And they're, like, talking to us. You're going to go through it. And they're like, I don't know. It's so weird. They're like, I don't know. It's weirding me out, Tommy. It's a bit like it's fourth wall breaky in a really strange way.
And they've like done a little bit of this fourth wall breaking throughout this season and a little bit last season as well. But this is like just over. Like, it is clear that they, again, this show does not care anymore. They're like, let's just get this last season out of the way.
Yeah, they're done.
You want the wedding? We're not gonna. We're, you know. And I don't know if this is the solution for Corey and Topanga. Like, you're having such problems with your wedding. So instead of like trying to fix the problems, you're going to just have the wedding be kind of bad and it'll be fine. I guess that's a way to look at it.
I guess for them, they're like, the problem is our friends and family. So we're just going to like make it 2 weeks from now so that, or 1 week from now, so that it could be super quick that they can't possibly fuck it up, I suppose. But like, it still doesn't fix the problem of Topanga having to wear that ugly ass fucking dress. Like, I don't know how she's going to get past that. But yeah, like, this was a way to tell viewers, it was cute. It's a way to tell viewers, like, make sure to tune in. Like, the next week is their wedding episode, you know? So it was cute. Like, this overall episode, I didn't like hate it. It just is pretty ridiculous overall.
But it's fun ridiculous.
Yeah. It's more fun ridiculous than the first one. I gotta give you that.
10 out of 10. So much fun. I think that everybody had their moments where they were able to be funny and fun and just silly in the best way possible. I also like how like Ben Savage is like explaining how a website works. He's like, corintopanga.com, one word, it symbolizes our unity. Yeah. It's definitely not just a website thing.
Well, and also I think and even this, you could have said they're not fully coupley. It's nice to have like an episode where we're getting them like couple banter, because so far this season it's just been Corey asking for sex and them fighting. So and then we're gonna go right into the wedding and it's supposed to be like, yeah, we care about this couple. So it's nice that we get a little bit. We should have probably had a little more of a romantic. Remember when they had a whole like art episode where it was all about how she's the Starry Nights and all that stuff? And then we go to this, and now it doesn't matter. There's no romance, there's nothing. It's all just goof now.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are our episodes that, you know. We're moving through. We're moving through season 7. It's a crazy ass season. Like, the fun thing is they really are just like, we will do anything on this show at this point. Yeah. Fuck the moral of the story. We did get a good FeeneyCon, so that was really fun. And of course, Tommy, we love having you here. You've been a ride or die since Sarah. We looked it up today. Since season 2, you've guessed it every season since season 2.
We got to go back so I can get on. We got
to
do a rewatch.
Yeah, we need to go back season 1.
Back to season 1.
Yeah, I think we only had 2 guests on season 1. So it's not because we didn't want you there, Tommy.
It was early days.
Well, I'm glad I was here. I'm sad I was on before Chappelle could come on again so we could have our just Chappelle. P.S. Chappelle, I'm waiting to hear your response to the last time I was on. Skip this one.
Yeah.
Listen to the last time.
Yeah.
Respond when you're on and then come back and listen to this.
Yeah. Fight him. Fight him.
There you go.
Yeah. Fight I mean, it's always fun to come talk to you guys. Obviously, you're two of my dear friends, and I love talking about this wacky show. As much as I'm like, this is trash, I love how trashy it is. It is very funny.
Yeah.
And just sometimes with TV nowadays, it takes itself too serious. So it's nice to watch.
You cannot accuse this show of that currently. Definitely not. What do you have going on? Where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, if you want to hear any more of my hot takes, I do a podcast, not about Boy Meets World, but about Marvel and Star Wars shows and movies called Stark Wars. I'm on that pod. We're covering Andor and She-Hulk right now, another show that is not taking itself very seriously, but I love it for it, She-Hulk. And check me out over there. We podcast sometimes.
Fantastic. Sarah, what do you have going on? Where can the people find you?
Yeah. So what are we up to? We have our weekly Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World coverage. We are also covering Goofy Movie 2 with KFC, Karen from Canada. Mm-hmm. And that should release this week as well. I'm very excited to cover that. We have a ton of fun, spooky content for the month of October. That's about it. We might do a few guest spots in the future, Jess and I, on other podcasts. Stay tuned for that. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson.
You can find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. Lately, I'm always covering community on Community Building with Josh Wiggler on Post Show Recaps. Also on Post Show Recaps, I am covering the new Hulu sitcom reboot. It is so much fun. I honestly think our podcast is even better, though. I don't mean to brag, but if you like sitcoms and you like wild off-topic banter, You will love the podcast I'm doing with Adam H. because we constantly get off topic and mostly about food, because who doesn't want to talk about food all the time? But go listen to that. That's been a ton of fun as well. And of course, I'm over here every week plugging out Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek, all that stuff. So check out all of that. Of course, next week we will be back covering the wedding. It's the wedding. And I love how they title it, It's About Time. As if like they're 80 years old.
Seriously.
This is some nonsense.
But, still, I know.
But it's about time, and we're gonna cover it.
Yeah, with Cody.
So we will be back next week talking through all of that. Thank you everyone for listening. We will talk to y'all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.